Okay, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for you to speak to us all today through your word and through the words that I speak. So we just lift up this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so where's the clicker? I need a clicker. When I first looked at the name of this faith hero, I thought, who is that? Jochebed. I had never heard that name, and I didn't know who it was. And obviously, in brackets, Stephen had put Mother of Moses. That gave me a bit of a clue. It turns out that this lady, Jochebed, there she is actually mentioned a bit further on in Exodus, and I believe she's mentioned in Numbers as well, apparently. And that's the first time we get to hear her name, is a bit later on, as the genealogy is explained. Jochebed fits in the family tree. So basically, she was of the line of Levi, and she married a man called Amram, and then she had three children. She had Miriam, her daughter, who was obviously the oldest and is in the picture we've just seen. I assume Moses was the next one, and then Aaron came along later, I assume. Please correct me if anyone expert here knows any different. So that's who she is. And basically the context of this passage is that it was a time of great oppression for the people of Israel. But also a time of great fertility. The peoples of Israel who were in Egypt had grown in number hugely, and God was continuing to bless them with new children. But because of that, the people of Egypt became scared and wanted to kind of basically get control of all these Hebrew people. So what they did is they put them into slavery. They put them to work in various cities to build bricks and to basically oppress them. But it didn't help. They continued to have baby upon baby. God's blessing of fertility continued. And so Pharaoh's next plan was to get the midwives to put to death all the baby boys. But the midwives bravely, who feared God, refused to do that. And they made up a story that the Hebrew women were a lot more vigorous, and they had their children without the need of a midwife, and they had the baby boys before they got there. And so Pharaoh became more and more desperate, and finally issued a decree that every boy shall be thrown into the Nile. And we saw that in the back end of that passage. Here it is. Sorry, couldn't find it. I remember where it is. Here, somewhere near the top. Yeah, and Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So, into this desperate situation comes this lady, Jochebed, who marries Amram, and she conceives a child, and this beautiful baby boy Moses is born. And clearly there had been numerous babies already killed. It would have been a desperate situation. Parents who would have tried to hide their children would probably have been executed. But here was this beautiful baby boy, and she managed to hide him for 3 months. Until she could hide him no more. His lungs were fully developed. He was crying his eyes out. He was desperate for food. But he was strong and he was beautiful. And now was the time, maybe, now was the time when he was strong enough, just maybe, to survive abandonment. So what is it that drove Jochebed and all the people of Israel at that time? It was a hope, a faith, an assurance that the things that God had promised would come true. And this hope was a force that sustained God's people in this time of oppression and fear. It was a hope and a faith that allowed people to live expectantly and obediently, waiting for God to fulfill his promises. And Joseph, who obviously brought the people into Egypt and was obviously very popular with the Egyptians because of everything that he'd done to help them during the famine years, said at his deathbed in Genesis 50 that God would rescue his people from Egypt and he would bring them out into the promised land. And obviously the people of Israel hung on to the other promises that God had made to the forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, where God had promised them to be numerous and promised to bring them to the promised land. So that was the hope that Jochebed had. And now it was maybe time to trust her beautiful baby with God. But of course, God doesn't call us to be just purely to hope in him. There's more to it than that. We need to be practical. And so she uses her head. She knows this baby will need protection if she puts him into the Nile. So she was going to obey Pharaoh. She was going to put the baby into the Nile. But she thought how she could do that and give the baby some hope. So she built this basket and she lined it with bitumen to stop it from leaking. She placed it amongst the reeds to protect Moses from the currents of the Nile. And most importantly of all, she was expectant and she kept watch. And she kept watch through her daughter, Miriam. And no doubt she also kept watch from a safe distance. And she prayed. What would happen? What could she hope for? She knew one thing for sure, the baby would cry. But someone, maybe someone, might have pity on him and save their beautiful baby. So she prayed. She put her hope and her trust and her confidence in God. And whatever happens, we need to do these things too. And I was thinking about the modern equivalent of this lady. And I imagined mothers with unwanted babies, unwanted pregnancies, and the agony that they must go through as they consider their options. Maybe to abandon their babies, to opt for abortion, or possibly adoption. I imagine the parents who put their children onto flimsy, inflatable boats as they try and give them a hope of a new life as refugees, taking the treacherous journey across the Mediterranean to a new life. All were well aware of the dangers their children will face. But also people maybe with health scares, people who've got concerns about their health, who've got sick and needy relatives, maybe elderly parents. People who've got difficulties to deal with in their relationships or maybe at work. There are times when all we can do is trust God and be confident in him. So what is the hope that we have now by faith in Jesus? The new covenant. Because Jochebed was relying on the old covenant of God before Jesus' time. But if we zoom forward to look at John chapter 3, Jesus meets Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and explains to him how we can obtain the wonderful hope that is the new covenant. And he says, first of all, we must declare our faith in Jesus through baptism, where we are reborn through the waters of baptism and through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit will guide our lives, just like the wind, where we don't know where the Holy Spirit comes from and where it will take us. But we need to have confidence that it's the will and the plan of God, and ultimately it will be good for us. And then finally, at the end of his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus declares this, the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life." So Jochebed gave her baby to God, just like all the other mothers before her had let their babies go into the Nile. But as we read in Hebrews, God had a special plan for this baby. And through the watchfulness of his sister and the amazing plans of God, Pharaoh's very own daughter, took pity on the crying infant. And a quick-thinking sister offered the baby's own mother to be his nursemaid. Pretty awesome. And as we know, Moses went on to lead the people out of Egypt. So as I reflected on how God's Holy Spirit and his plan had weaved its way into the life of these people, who were so influential in God's plan, I thought about my own journey with God. And just like the people of Israel, the care and love of God for his people touched me as a child of God in the late 90s. And as I'll have told you many times about my story, but maybe not one aspect. So my life was a whole mix of things. It was a mix of blessings and a mix of difficulties. I was blessed with two young daughters, but Yvonne's family had suffered a real big tragedy. Her father had died very young. We were coping with that as a family. I was really struggling at work with my own self-confidence. But we were at church. We were going to church at St. Mary's. And God came close to us at that time. And I was prompted to go on an Alpha course and came to faith. But Yvonne was struggling with God after the death of her father. She was struggling with him. She didn't know why that happened. But there was a lady called Lois, an old lady called Lois, who was on my Alpha course, who obviously heard a bit about my story, knew I was married. And she prayed continually for Yvonne. And she got to know Yvonne, and she would nag her year after year to go on the Alpha course. Actually, it was only for 2 years. But finally, Yvonne relented, and she went along, and she came to faith. And it was through Yvonne's faith that really gave me the freedom for my faith to grow. And it made me reflect on how God's plan, through the difficulties of the death of Yvonne's father, my difficulties at work, and then through this lady, the plan had worked itself out, and the God's wind of change, the spirit that he sent, had come to touch my life. This lady was clearly very anxious about what was going to happen, and so was her sister. You could sense the anxiety between the two. But she put her trust in God. So what I'd like us to do, I know we're a small group, I've got some questions, and I'd split these up between kids, and you can be a kid if you want. Somewhere here, I think. Here we go. So I came up with two sets of things that you could do. Either you could draw a basket with some gadgets on it to look after baby Moses. Or, and then you could draw a picture of his mum and his sister keep watching and draw a picture of God. You could kind of imagine the scene and imagine some stuff there. Or maybe you would like to go a bit deeper than that and you'd like to have a bit of a think about these questions. Big, big questions. Not easy to grapple with these really. But do you know how much God loves you? And maybe you could put yourself into Jochebed's hopeless situation. And maybe you want to do this as a small intimate group today. You might want to share times when maybe God has vindicated your confidence and trust in a desperate situation. So you've got a choice. You can either do some practical kind of noodling stuff, or you can have a grapple with some slightly tougher questions. So we've probably got a lot of time, haven't we? So we can probably do, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes, I don't know, what do you think?
We've got an activity to prepare.
Okay, as well. So what? How long do you think?
Well, as long as it takes.
Okay, well, that's 10 minutes?
Yeah.
10 minutes, 15 minutes? See how it goes. Okay.